Thank the elders for allowing the time off and also covering the fort. I was spying on you too, and everything went according to plan. I know I wasn't fired because there was no announcement made unless if there's an email circulated around. But in the next week or two, I'm going to have the presentation on Greece itself. There's like 3,000 photos to process, and it's, you have no idea how jet lagged I am and was when I got back. It was, I didn't sleep for 32 hours, and then the first thing I did when I got home was I cleaned the fish aquarium, and so I didn't get to bed till like 5, but I'm really happy to be back. Immediately after the next day when I got back, I visited in the next 24 hours like 15 different people. And as with every mission trip, which I take, there's a cycle. And here's the cycle. There's 4 steps to this cycle. I've noticed it no matter where I go. There's the preparation stage. There are many things to do in advance on a mission trip. You have to coordinate the whom, what, where, when, why, how much, how long. There's people to be contacted, classes to be prepared for, funds to be raised, other needful things to be done. All this is done prior to actually departing. So there's that preparatory state. Then there's the participation. Once there, you participate in the many activities planned. There are classes to teach, supplies to be purchased, ministries to be carried out. Through participation, you begin to know the people you're working with. You're able to learn about the members of Christ, the culture that they're in. You're, in essence, participating in their lives for only a brief time and vice versa. And because you only have that short time, you have to hit the ground running. You don't have time to, I mean, literally, if you saw the itinerary, I knew where I was going to be about nearly, well, every day I knew where I was going to be. And depending upon the time, I knew where during that day I was going to be. And then there's the third stage, which is appreciation. About 2 weeks in, there's this level of appreciation for what that culture faces. The government restrictions, harsh living conditions, economic hardships. You hear the stories, you visit with them, you see these events going on. It's in this stage I earn a greater appreciation for my own people, my own nation, my own life. And so it's a dual appreciation. I appreciate for who they are, and I appreciate for where I came from. And then there's the anticipation, stage 4. In the last week to 10 days, I tend to really begin, I miss home. Missionary is one of my lowest scores. And you know, it doesn't matter where I go. Romania, it happens. India, Africa, Greece. No matter where it happens, the last week or so, I really have an anticipation of coming home. I want to come home. I become a bit depressed. I usually have my mind preoccupied with life on the home front. I have not been on a single mission trip where that never happened. And it's in this last category, the anticipation, that I want to focus on this morning. Now, why is there such a great anticipation to come home? Well, the title of this lesson this morning is, Why is Doug Hamilton So Really Happy to Be Home? That's the title of this morning's lesson. Why is Doug Hamilton really happy to be home? Well, first of all, because Doug missed his physical home. You missed your physical home. Normal sleeping and bathing facilities. Our bathing facilities were, as you remember last year, in a kitchen. Okay? I have my own bathroom at home right off the, I mean, right, it's with the bedroom. That's where we got the house. I mean, you crawl out of bed and you go right to the bathroom. But you have to time everything out because you can't have people in the kitchen when you're bathing or people won't eat, then you won't need a kitchen, I guess. But I mean, it's, and you have to make sure that the timing, you have to take everything you have in, and you don't leave it in there, because nobody wants to see your scrub brush next to the silverware or something. You have to move it and go back out. And as far as the comfortable bed, you know, I have to go on a mission trip. Greece is no exception. Okay? I'm bigger than the average Greek, aren't I, Drew? I had euros bigger than the average Greek. And the weight of my body is not cooperating with the structure of a Greek bed. And countless times in the middle of the night, I was going to put a picture up there, but my bed would just collapse. Okay? Like the middle rungs would fall right out. The lats would fall right out. And I would dream that I was having incredible back pain, because I'd be sleeping on my side and now I'm like this. And I dream of this horrible back pain. I wake up and it was real. Okay? And this would be like 2 a.m. Then I'd have to pick up that heavy mattress. And I'm like Quasimodo going sideways. Literally, the first night I was there, I was so tired. And I woke up and I was in a hammock and sideways. And I got up and literally it was like half of my body was over here. My upper half of the body was here. I was walking like this, and I had to pick up that mattress, put all the lats on there. The bed becomes unmade, and then you have to set it down gently, because the first couple of times I did that, I set it down too hard. All the lats fell out again, and then I had to find, it takes an hour of, in the middle of the night, and you're in great pain. And, you know, Jesus said in the midst of his missions, foxes have holes and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Yes, and in Matthew 8:20. Now, he was reflecting on the busyness of the mission field, and in contrast to the sedentary life. And I better understand this when I'm on the mission field. I really miss my bed and my little ceiling fan that's above there. Everything's exactly where it needs to be. And like one of the... When Jana and Drew and I were traveling to Turkey, the first night, Jana and I had king bed. Next night, we had queen bed. Next night, we had full bed. I said to Jana, if I show up and there's a twin bed, I'm just sleeping on the floor because I can't handle this. And so, you know, I didn't realize how comfortable of a bed I had till I got back. And I do that every single time. On this ship I had to take to go to some of the islands, as you'll see, my bed was like smaller than like a twin mattress. And I kiss the wall like 30 times a night, because I'm a tosser, a turner, and I'd see sparks. And I think, why does my face hurt? I thought maybe my nose would go back to straight because I was hitting it on this side. But I missed those things. And daily chores. Now, this might not be a true statement for you, but I actually like doing chores around the house. I find that satisfying. I like to have things clean and organized in the home. I like watering the plants. I like vacuuming. I like dusting. I like that. Now, you may not like that, but I look at it this way. We're told by God to be a good, wise steward of our blessings. Yes. And I think that we need to upkeep the things that we have. You know, if we have a car, we should wash and keep it maintained. And that's just where I'm coming from. And all that is just totally out the window when you're not home. I like going through the mail. You should have seen the stack of mail I had. It was half a table. And we have a big table. It would have covered this part of the Lord's Supper table. And I only got this much actual mail that I could keep. But you got to go through it. And those things heap up. I miss not having those things. And then even my pets. My pets. The prophet Nathan used a heart-touching parable in 2 Samuel 12, verses 1 through 7, of a precious lamb taken from a very poor man. He did so to teach the shepherd king, David, on what an error he did when he took Bathsheba from Uriah the Hittite. But So that's really why it was told. But verse 3 of the passage exposes that this, quote, little ewe lamb was like, I mean, this lamb was more of a pet than livestock. I mean, this family loved this lamb. I'm going to call it a pet lamb. That, with other passages in the Bible, I think that pets are an extension of the home, not the family, of the home. And I miss my cats when I'm gone. I do. You know, the last week, I changed my screensaver on my phone to Tootsie, our cat. I started petting all these stray animals in Greece. You know, animals that you didn't want to touch normally. And I wanted to pet these. And that stupid Wolverine, I thought for sure would have enjoyed me, but he didn't. But, you know, I'm going up to, like, I was with Peter, one of the instructors at the school, and I'd be going along, and I'd see this cat, and I'd say, oh, I got to pet this cat. And the cat was missing a nose, you know. And just because it was a cat, it reminded me of my cats. You know, Psalm 122, verse 7 says, May peace be within your walls and prosperity within your palaces. Our physical homes are meant to be peaceful break from this world. Amen. A lot of times I go home, and if you don't have that in your home, you need to have that. That's what God wants you to have.
Yes, sir.
You need to be able to go from the world and go to a place of peace and contentment, prosperity of your soul. And that's what God's aim is for the home. And I miss that when I'm switching and going from place to place. And sometimes you don't even know what you're going to be sleeping in from one night to the next. You don't really know where you're going to be. Home sweet home. If that's your slogan, then you would also truly be happy to be home if you were on a mission trip. So that's number one reason why Doug Hamilton is really happy to be home. Number two is because Doug missed his physical family. Even though Jana was with me for half the time, the other half of the time she wasn't with us, with me. And she and Drew left on Monday. When I came back from Patmos in Crete the following Friday, it was to an empty room. And that's where it really hit me. I really was depressed. I would spend the next 10 days of this mission alone. I pretty much tried to keep myself occupied, but when I, you know, did not have Jana there, it bothered me, okay? So I admit it, Jana, you know, it bothered me when she wasn't there because there were still things to be seen and done. And after everybody would go, there you are alone. And the same thing is that for the kids because of the time difference. I heard Abby snuck back, if you're from the lower of the Mason-Dixon line. But she came back and, you know, Jana was surprised by Abby. I saw on Facebook, and I didn't get to see Abby. And the time difference makes it really hard to have normal contact time with that. I remember talking with Adam and Aaron. It was 2 a.m. in the morning where I was, and I had to get up the next day. And they were still, you know, you have to adjust for those things. There'd be times that I'd want to call somebody I knew back in the States, but by the time I got done with the day, well, they were at work, and, you know, it really throws things off. It says in 1 Timothy 5, verse 8, but if anyone does not provide for his own, especially those of his own household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. Now, I know this is primarily linking itself to the physical needs, but by implication, it also applies to the spiritual needs. And I like to be able to reach my family, contact them, talk with them. You know, I want to be available to them. And that really bothered me that, you know, for 5 days, I didn't even have internet. You know, and you know, I couldn't use Magic Jack. The computer upstairs broke, so I had to use the other one. And then at midnight, never failed, the internet would go down. Did it not, Drew? Every single night. And that was the time when I'd start to make calls. So now I couldn't make a call. I wanted to talk to my family and share with them, and they weren't there. When I say I'm really happy to be home, this is a very big reason. God designed for physical families to be dependent on each other. Number three, because Doug missed his spiritual family. fact, to me, that's number one reason. Amen. This is what I miss the most about being absent. I thought of you all the time because our lives interact with each other on a daily basis, just like the scriptures teach. Look at these one another passages here. Okay? We suffer together. 1 Corinthians 12:26. When somebody has a death, we show up for that person. When somebody's in the hospital, we show up for them. We rejoice together, Romans 12:15. We carry one another's burdens, Galatians 6:2. We restore one another, Galatians 6:1. We pray for one another, Romans 15:32. We teach and admonish each other, Colossians 3:16. We refresh one another, Romans 15:32. We encourage one another, Romans 1:12. We forgive one another, Ephesians 4:32. We confess one to another, James 5:16. We are truthful with one another, Ephesians 4:25. We spur one another on to good deeds, Hebrews 10:24. We're giving to one another, Philippians 4:14-15. We love one another, John 13:34. We're one another people. I mean, our lives are going in and out all the time. And if it's not, you're not doing what Christ wants you to do. Okay? Christ expects us to be together, to interact with one another through our lives. We at the local church family of Camp Hill, we do these things together. We've been very, very good about that. And more. This is how God designed the local church family to function. He never intended, okay? Listen closely. He never intended our fellowship to boil down on Sunday mornings to 10:30 to 11:30. That's not what God wants. That's the pinnacle of what we've been doing all week.
Yes, sir.
If we've been fellowshipping with one another, loving one another, forgiving one another, encouraging one another, one another, one another, one another, Monday through Saturday, Sunday morning, we come together and celebrate as the pinnacle of our fellowship.
Amen.
And so, He wants us always interacting with each other. We assist one another in this journey to a place we call heaven. When we do this, I guarantee you're going to miss your local church family. It would be so strong to me. Now, you think that with all the stuff that I had to do over there, and trust me, I'm wore out. But it's a good wore out. You know, when Paul said he'd be refreshed at seeing brothers and sisters again, I'm very refreshed. Right now, I'm not tired. Later on, I'll be tired. It hits you. It's like malaria, kind of. But this feeling for you is so strong that, and Drew and Jana can attest to this, when I'm on a mission trip, no matter where I'm at, I see your faces on that nation's bodies. Okay? I saw your faces in the crowds in Greece. Yeah, I did. I saw it. Here are just a few of the dozens. Let's turn to one. Okay? Now this guy I saw in the airport, he reminded me of Doug Zimmermanopoulos. Right there, doesn't he? You know, I was in the airport. And I was thinking, that looks like Doug Zimmerman. Okay, here's one. Right here. You know who that looks like? My mom. One of your newest. This is Giannopoulos. Okay? Her face on her. Hey, look at this one. This one. You're going to love this one. Okay. Devonopoulos. I saw him in Greece. You know, that's because I long for you. I did. I saw a whole bunch of you there. I did. Hey, I saw a Tracyopoulos there. I did. Oh, there was a Craigopoulos coming out of the Greek church. I saw him too. I saw a Russopoulos, a Markopoulos. I saw a bunch of Opolises there, and it reminded me of you.
Amen.
Because I'm thinking of you. As Paul says, you are always in my heart.
Yes,
let me tell you, you love your church family.
Yes,
if you adore your church family, you're going to see them no matter where you go.
Amen.
The same way Christ dwells in our hearts, our church family's right there with us. And so, I want to close with this thought. It's really great to be home. Doug Hamilton is really happy to be home. He is. I'm giving you three reasons. They're not idle words, they're proven facts. The application is simple. We must live our lives in a way that make us glad we are home in the spiritual life of this congregation.
Yes, sir.
That's how we have to live. If we're not organizing our life in a way that if you're not here Sunday, you miss something.
Yes, sir.
Then you need to reanalyze your life. Amen. We have to structure our life to where we yearn for each other when we're not here. And if we do so, we're assured of being comfortable in our home with heaven. But if we're not, it could say something else. I really appreciated your kind Facebook postings. A lot of you sent me texts and stuff. Those texts meant a lot to me. They really did. You know, because I thought about you all the time. I prayed for you. And I know you prayed for me and you thought about me. I really appreciate that. And I'm very, very happy to be home. Thank you for allowing me to go. And within a week or two, I will share with you the details of the trip with many, many photos. There's a new board back there. I took down the last year's Greek mission board, and I have it started already. You have a bunch of students there that signed a thank you note to this congregation for allowing us to be there, because it truly made a difference for them. And I know it will make a difference for you if it hasn't already. If you need to respond to the invitation for any reason at all, we offer this for you at this time.